house with him and Sister Angie. And you ever stayed in that refrigerator over there? Anyhow, I got so cold, I just finally put my head under the covers and started breathing hot air trying to warm up. I know why Brother Wayne lost all of his hair. It froze off. Woo! Yep. He goes out and cuts grass to warm up. You know, they got him his personal lawnmower. I wonder if he's got a personal heater over there or something. Yeah. We appreciate everything, though. God bless you. I want to say this before I get started preaching. It has been such a great honor to preach in these youth services. I've done lost track of how many years, but it's been several. And I tell you what, it has been an honor to preach to the young folks. Several come up to me last night thanking me for preaching. Didn't preach like I wanted to or felt like I needed to, done the best I could. But I was thankful for God touching our children and helping them. We've been involved with youth camp, me and Brother Chuck now. I know some of the others here have been for years, going on 20 years now that I've been involved with the youth camp that's host and home to our church right now. And it's been our privilege and honor to work with young folk. And it's been a burden that's been on my heart to watch and see them as they grow, live for God, pick out a good godly spouse, and go on and be productive in the house of God. It means a lot to me. Now, I want to say this to the parents and to those that may not be a parent. Doesn't matter. You see, the truth of the matter is I've seen some get involved with youth camp, especially the one like we have, and they were all for it as long as they had children that were in the age group of coming to that youth camp. Boy, they had such a tremendous burden, and they labored and they worked. But when their children were no longer there, they all of a sudden lost their burden. But I'm going to tell you something. My children are all almost grown now, but I still have a burden for that youth camp and for our youth. Because this is the way I feel about it. As long as the wholeness movement has youth, and I believe that's going to be right on till the Lord comes, then I've got children to tend to. Now, adults, you ought to put your life into it, put your heart in it, and put your money in it. Because you will never put your money anywhere that'll bring forth more fruit than it would our children. Now, some say, well, you know, it costs money to send them to youth camp. I'm going to tell you what, that gets in my craw. When I watch mamas and daddies carrying their kids all over to baseball games, to movies. Do you know how many thousands of dollars is spent every year just for young men to go hunting? Now, I'm not against hunting. You know, I'm not against it. We need to teach our children how to handle guns and on, and that way they can be good, productive, safe citizens. But we need to invest our money in the kingdom of heaven. Whatever your pastor's trying to do with your youth, you need to go along with it. As long as it's in the book, you need to go along with it. And you need to put your life into it. Amen? Well, that's my lecture. Now I'm going to try to preach to you. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Matthew's Gospel. We're going to read there and try to preach to you by God's help and grace. I want to say how much I appreciate Brother Savage. And, you know, my wife said, they're going to get you back for all that stuff you said last night. Wasn't he a perfect gentleman this morning? Never said a word out of the way. Brother Shad, too, so nice. It ain't over with, he said. Oh, there we go. Book of Matthew, the 14th chapter. And we'll begin reading, or just going to read one verse of Scripture, 29th verse. If you have that, say amen. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship. Now this is talking about Peter. The Bible said he walked on the water. Now, some folk would have it that as soon as he stepped out, he started sinking. But the Bible says here he walked on the water. Now, we're down on Peter sometimes because he began to sink. But he done more than I've ever done. If he took one step on H2O, that's better than I've ever done. And he walked on water to go to Jesus. I want to preach, if the Lord would help me, on it's your move. Young folk, it's your move. Your time to move. I want to open this sermon by saying this to our children. If you ever want to walk on water, you're going to have to get out of your boat. If you're ever going to get the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to get out of your boat. If you're ever going to do a work for God, you're going to have to get out of your boat. If you're ever going to be productive or have a leadership role in the house of God, in whatever capacity that is, whether it be teaching Sunday school or whether it be a preacher, whether it be some high place that you're wanting to achieve in the house of God, young person, you're going to have to get out of your boat. Peter wanted to walk on water. So Peter cried out to Jesus and he said, "Would you bid me come unto you?" And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." You see, life is filled with actions and reactions. And so it is in the house of God. It is so filled with actions and reactions. When we act toward God, there is an instant reaction to whatever we're doing in the house of God. If you draw nigh unto Him, the Bible says what? He will draw nigh unto us. If I'll take a step toward God, then God's going to take a step toward me. Well, I'm going to tell you what I found out. Not just a step. There's been some times when I took one step that God took five or six or seven or eight. There's been some times that I tried my little feeble way of touching God, and all of a sudden God came to me. The gulf seemed so impassable, and it seemed like forever to where God was. But when I took that step, I said, when I took that step, when I drew nigh unto God, thank God He drew nigh unto me. I want to preach it to the little while, young folk. If you'd get out of your boat, if you'd go toward Him, He will come toward you. Life is filled of actions and reactions. Christ comes to His disciples walking on the sea. To this action, Peter reacts by crying out, "Bid me come unto thee." In turn, Christ reacts by telling him, "Come! Come on, Peter. You said you want to come closer to me. Now come on." Here it is. The Son of God puts it right back in Peter's court. How many times has that happened to you and I, to our children? We want to touch God. We want a move of God. And we pray about it, young folk. God, I want you to move in my heart. God, I want you to move in my life. And in return, God says, "Come. Get out of your boat and walk on water." It's there that all of a sudden we draw up. "You mean me, God? You mean you want me to step out? You mean you want me to obey God?" Yeah, that's exactly what He wants. He wants you to step out. He wants you to obey Him. He wants you to walk on water. He wants you to have a move of God. That's exactly what God wants. Amen. I wonder how many miracles have we missed because we failed to step out. Because we failed to answer the call that the Lord gave to us. What if, just say what if, when the Lord told Peter, "Come," and Peter looked around and said, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it." Do you know what would have happened? We would have missed one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. A man beside Jesus Christ walking on the water. How many times has God dealt with us and we missed a blessing simply because we did not do what God told us to do? What if Peter had not stepped out of his boat?
fruit? What if, young person, the preacher that's pastor in this church had never preached the message that he preached the morning that convicted you of sin and drawed you to an old-fashioned altar? Brother Noah told just in this meeting about how he took this church and the number it was running, and one of the first preachers to ever said unto him was the one that preached so good in the morning service. Brother Melvin, y'all know him, don't you? And old Brother Melvin at one time did not have the power of God. But what if Brother Noah had never took Bethel? But thank God he did. I said, thank God he did. And now there's a holiness church. And God knows Albany needs it. Amen. Man of God had never been here. What if the message had not been preached the day you got the baptism in the Holy Ghost? What if this preacher right here had decided, well, I don't want to preach no more. I don't want to get out of the boat. Well, it's always all right for somebody else to wade out and walk on water. But when God deals with us, when God puts his finger on us, we don't want to obey the voice of God. It's time to get up and get out of the boat. It's time to make up your mind to get out of the boat. What if Peter had not responded to the voice of Jesus? What if? I wonder where you would be if you would listen to what God's been telling you. I'm going to tell you, God's dealing with my heart this evening. I was praying, Lord, God, dealing with my heart. We got some young men here. God's been touching your heart. God's been dealing with you. And you have not wanted to get out of that boat. You like it where you're at. It's comfortable. It's a safe place. That wood feels pretty sturdy in the middle of that storm. But I'm going to tell you something, young men. Until you get out of that boat, you're never going to do what you need to do in the kingdom of heaven. I remember one man that I know real well. He was running from the call to preach and never could really do anything in church because he did not want to answer the call to preach. I remember one morning I was studying on Jonah, running from the call of the Lord. And that man called me and said, hey, I want to ask you a question. He said, can you tell me the story of Jonah? I was sitting there with my notes, my Bible open to it. He said, can you talk to me about Jonah? I said, yeah, I can talk to you about him. I said, matter of fact, I'm finna preach on him on Sunday morning. I read the scriptures to him and began to tell him and preach to him the sermon I was gonna preach that morning. When we got through with it, he said, thank you, and hung the phone up. But Brother Corey, today he's preaching the gospel. He might have run for a little while, but after a while he realized, if I'm ever going to do anything in the kingdom of heaven, I've got to get out of the boat and get on the water. It wasn't long after that my mother-in-law saw him. And she said, when are you going to do what God has called you to do? He hung his head down, said, I better do it, hadn't I? And God got a hold of his heart. And now he's preaching the word of God. I wonder when. I said, I wonder when. I said, I wonder when are you going to wade out? When are you going to get out of the boat? When are you going to walk on the water? The truth of the matter is, Peter now knew that he had to make a move. See, he had talked to the Lord, and he told the Lord what he wanted. He said, bid me to come to thee walking on the water. Now he had to do something, sit tight or get out. Sit tight or walk on the water. And he chose to get out. What are you choosing to do? With that as a backdrop, let's look first of all at Peter's pause. Our text says, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, when he got out of it, after Christ said, come, to which Peter, it seems like, as we are reading this text, there seems like there is a small pause. Bible doesn't say it is. I'm not trying to put something there that's not there. There's other places in the Bible when Jesus did things, whenever it happened just instantly, we read, and immediately he arose. Immediately this happened or that happened. And it seems like there might have been a hesitation or a pause. I know what it would have been on my part. Peter jumped out there on a ledge and said, "Bid me come unto thee." And when Jesus said, "Come," I mean, here it was, reality has set in. Me come, me walk on water, me step out of this boat, me get out on that stormy sea. And all of a sudden we find Peter pausing right in front of it. I want to ask some young person here tonight, are you sitting in the pause mode? Are you sitting there with the pause button on? Can I tell you, it's time to take it off. I said, it's time to take it off. I once knew a young man by the name of Edgar. And I seen Edgar just a couple years ago out there at Brother Brewer's church. Brother Edgar used to go to a church in North Louisiana. Brother John Martin was pastoring there. And Brother Edgar was an unusual young man. That's to say the least. I mean, you talking about somebody that got in. He got in. Sister Amory's grinning, so she must know Edgar. I mean, Edgar would shout at the drop of a hat. And he'd drop the hat, I promise you. I don't care how dead it was, he never had a dead service. They just didn't exist. Dead services did not exist for Edgar. I was preaching pastor appreciation one time for Brother David Harrison, and Brother Edgar happened to be there that day. And so they got up, you know how they do, and they was talking all that mushy stuff about how great the pastor is, and I like all that. I'm a pastor. But anyway, they was talking all that mushy stuff. And then they got the kids up front. And they started singing one of these songs, you know. Half out of tune, I guess they were. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But they was trying their best to sing. And we was all smiling, you know, happy. And I looked over there and Edgar took off running. I mean, there wasn't nothing going on. We wasn't even thinking about the Holy Ghost or a move of God. He made that lap. And when he come back, he had his tie up like this, wiping his eyes because he's squalling, and then he blowed his nose on his tie. Yeah. He didn't care. I'm telling you, Edgar did not care. I remember when I first met him, we was in church one night, man, we was worshiping. Oh, Brother John Martin was having church, and Edgar sat on the front on this side, you know. And Edgar, about that time, done a flip. He'd sit on a pew and just flip. I mean, he wouldn't stand up and flip. He'd just flip off the pew. And when he did, he'd sit Indian style on the floor, and he started shouting in a way that if I tried to mimic it, y'all would have to take me to a chiropractor when I got through. His head looked like it would come loose or something, and he'd spin it around and shout and shout and shout. One night we was having a sure enough service, and you know, I thought, hey man, this thing's calming down a little bit. I'm gonna preach here in a minute. And I was standing there, you know, big time evangelist, you know, suit and tie on, and God spoke to my heart, said, "Get in the floor and roll." I said, "Now God, that tie's gonna get wrapped all around my neck. And I mean, my suit coat's gonna be on top of my head." Yeah, you do. I didn't want to get out of the boat. I didn't want to do it. I stood there contemplating it, thinking about it. About that time, Edgar flipped off that front pew and went to shouting. And God spoke to me again. He said, "Well, I could ask you to shout like Edgar." I got down and went to rolling, brother. Woo! Hey, hey! Come on here now. I mean, do you want to flip off the front pew, brother, for me? You don't want to? See there how we draw up when God tells us to come? Huh? Come on here now. I mean, listen to me. I tell you what I needed to do. I should have took the old necktie off. And this is for some of you that don't believe in wearing them. I mean, I should have took the necktie off and said, "Forget the necktie. Forget who I am. Forget the sport code. Forget who I have been, who I'm going to be. And forget everything else. God said, get out of the boat. And it's time to get out of the boat. boat. I'm preaching to somebody right here tonight. You've been sitting in the boat too long. You've been thinking about it. You've been contemplating it. You've been worried about it. You need to quit thinking about it and get out of the boat. I said, get out of the boat. Amen. Time to get out of the boat. It don't matter what your name is. Doesn't matter where you come from. The Holy Ghost has been trying to help us. The Holy Ghost has been trying to touch us. And it's time to take the pause button off. I'm telling you, we need a move of God like we have not needed one in a long, long time. We're needing an outpouring of the Holy Ghost like we have not needed in a long time. And I'm telling you what, some of us are not willing to do what it takes to have that move of God. I mean, one day when we've done crazy things, silly things, outlandish things. Remember one time we was having a move of God at Shady Grove, and there ain't no telling what liable to happen there. I'm telling you. But I mean, we was having good service. Somebody got to sing that song, I See the Ark, coming down the road. Man, we was shouting and worshiping, kicking our heels up. And I mean, I got to feeling good, Brother Shad. And I said, we need an ark. You know? And first thing I saw was a piano pew, stool. But the piano player was sitting on it. And I immediately figured that wouldn't work. You know? I promise you, that wouldn't work. Just wasn't going to happen. So I didn't know what to do. We needed one. The altars were too heavy, Brother Noah. Didn't know what to do. You know old Sister Viola Turner, don't you? Well, about that time I looked, and she comes skipping down the aisle, pulling a vacuum cleaner. I said, hold on here now. Business is finna pick up. What's going on here? She coming out, skipping, just laughing. And I said, yeah. I thought she was gonna vacuum the carpet. Got up there and I said, hey, sis, what you got? She said, you wanted an ark? I brought you an ark. Hey, a vacuum cleaner would be just as good as a piano stool, won't it? Huh? Son, we hoisted her up. And we went to carrying the ark of God home. We shouted with that vacuum cleaner. We rejoiced with that vacuum cleaner. And Monday morning we cleaned the church up with that vacuum cleaner. Say amen. There was a day when we didn't care. Do you know what that done that night? There is no telling. Brother MacDonald always said this. Only eternity would know, thank you, what this service has done. Only God knows what happened that night as the power of God touched hearts and lives. I'm telling you, that's what we need. We need a move of God. I said we need an outpour of the Holy Ghost, and God will pull us up, and God will pull us out by the grace of God. What if it is silly? What if somebody does laugh at you? What if somebody does think you're crazy? Ain't it worth getting up? Ain't it worth getting out over? Somebody needs to obey God here tonight. What if they do think you're silly? Before I got saved, I played high school football. I thought I was all of that and a bucket of chicken too. Yeah. I'm telling you, I thought I was something. I thought I was up there, boy. Huh? Yeah. I thought I was hot snot on a silver platter. All I was a cold booger on a paper plate. Huh? I wasn't nothing. You hear me? During that time, there was a guy playing for the New York Jets. Some of you may remember him before you got saved. His name was Mark Gassino. Old Mark had a mullet. You know what a mullet is? Not a fish you eat. It was a hairdo. your hair was cut right across your ear right there, you know. And it was long in the back. You know, some of them old boys permed that back, you know. No. That wasn't in style. That's crazy people done that. Sissy people. But I went and I growed me a mullet. Because Mark Gastineau had a mullet. And his hair hung out the back of his helmet. And he done what they called the Gastineau shuffle. He was defensive lineman. I was defensive lineman. And so when he made a sack, he'd get up. And I would show you how to do it, but it ain't proper in the house of God. But he'd do the shuffle. And I watch him do it, you know. And so I taught myself how to do that shuffle. And I, you know, could I preach against football just a little while? There was a guy, and I ain't going to tell you who he is. He might go to prison over it. But he would pay me $10 every sack I made. He said, and if you hurt that quarterback, he said, tell him what I'll give you. I'm telling you, I made 2 sacks in 1 game. He was standing at the gate when I walked out, never even had my pads off, handed me a $20 bill. He said, good job. Huh? Football, wonderful football. Don't tell my baby brother I'm telling y'all this. He was in the Christian athletics when he played high school ball. Rusty, he's spiritual. He's always been spiritual. I love you, Rusty. But anyhow, ain't all the Christian. I mean, I was a devil, and I knew I was a devil. I mean, I knew what I was. And all of them, they'd go in there and say, all right, guys, let's go in here and have a word of prayer before we go out to the field. We're all, you know, all of us non-Christian athletes standing there looking at them, you know. They'd go in there and you'd hear them in there, our Heavenly Father, God, give us strength to win this game. We'll go out there and Coach Ford say, all right, gather up, guys. Y'all, please remind me where I was a while ago. I never forgot. He said, come on, guys. Oh, Mark Gastineau. I'm come on around here, guys. Said, I want to pray with you. And he'd lead us in the Lord's Prayer. And we'd kneel down and we'd follow along with him. When he'd get through, he'd say, all right. You know, he was, our Father, which art in heaven. At the end, he'd say, all right, let's kill him. Spiritual. Oh, Mark Gastineau. I had my hair like his, had a mullet. And I would get on that field, Brother Shad, and I'd make that sack. And I'd come out of that pile. And I'd shake that old hair. And I'd do that dance. And I mean, they'd scream and holler. Yeah. You think I can go out there and do that as a sinner? And then I'm going to come to the house of God. And good to be here tonight. Don't you love the Lord? You know, Auburn's playing for the national championship this year. Don't act like you didn't know. It's everywhere. They talk about it everywhere. Auburn playing for the national championship. Yeah. There's going to be idiots there that's going to paint half of their body blue and half of it orange. I'll give you one better than that. Crimson Tide fans will take a roll of toilet paper and put it on a pole, a box of Tide detergent, and another roll of toilet paper on that and tote it around. Roll, Tide, roll. And grown men now, grown men will tote that around. And they think we're crazy for toting vacuum cleaners around. Huh? I was in the bank the other day, 2 grown men, businessmen now. One of them pulled up in a 3/4 ton, 4-door Ford, about a $75,000 automobile, brand new. Big construction company, his buddy had like manner automobile. They walked up to the teller. I was standing by him. One of them was at one teller and the other, and they was discussing Auburn, you know. I was standing there waiting to do my money business. And so I'm waiting, and the one looked at the other one, and he said, by the way, War Eagle. I was standing there. I was looking at him. I said, you're kidding me, right? War Eagle? Huh? War
eagle, and we're scared to even say, I love you, Jesus. Huh? I was in that same bank about 2 years ago, and I was doing a transaction with the lady that was doing the finances in. Her home was in trouble. And when I signed the paper, she got to talking to me. She knew I was a preacher, and she's told me, would you pray for me? I said, I sure will. I said, we're going to pray right now. She said, now? I said, now. Right now. She said, okay, do it. I went to praying. The tellers quit talking. Wasn't nobody saying War Eagle? No. She started crying and weeping right there in the middle of that bank. And the Holy Ghost come down in that bank. Come on here now. I'm going to tell you what, I made a complete idiot of myself before I got saved. I mean, I made a complete nutcase out of myself. I went as far as I could in sin, and it didn't look like I was ashamed of nothing I'd done. And I'm going to tell you what, the night I got saved, I made up my mind, God, I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to live right. I'm going to worship right. I'm going to get in right by the help and grace of God. I'm telling you, it's time for you to realize it's time for our youth to get in and have a move of God. And by the way, Mom and Daddy, if you want to come along with them, you're welcome to. Hey, I said, Grandma, Grandpa, if you're not ashamed of him, you're welcome to come along too. It's time to have a move of God. It's time to have church. Amen. Oh yeah, there was a pause, but there was a passion in the heart of Peter. Peter cried out, bid me come unto thee. Peter's common sense told him, stay in the boat. Don't get on that water and don't get out of where you're at. But there was something inside of the heart of Peter that made him climb out of that boat. That's what makes me live like I live. There is a passion. There is a hunger. There is a desire in my heart for the move of God. I want it. What about you? I said, I want it. What about you? I said, do you want it? I said, do you want it? Do you really want it? Well, if you do, act like you do. I mean, how long are we going to sit there with that pause button on? Your passion will make you take it off. I was out in Missouri years ago. Brother McDonald was preaching Brother Heights meeting, and I went out there to hear him. And I'd never met Brother Lloyd Cheek before. If you never met him, you ought to. He's a pretty good guy. And he got to preaching that morning, and he told a story that has never left me. Said he was riding down a road one day, and he saw a turtle in the middle of that road. And that turtle was all drawled up in a shell. So Brother Cheek said, I just stopped. And he said, I preached that turtle a little sermon. He said, I stopped, opened my door up. And I said, little turtle, if you're going to get to the other side, you better come out of your shell and get to moving. Could I tell somebody here, if you're going to make it, if you're going to get it, you better get to moving. You need to come out of your shell. You need to come out of your pew. There's some of you, looks like you've been glued to that pew. You've been hanging on to it all mean long. Scared to death that something's going to get on you or something's going to tell you something from the Lord. It's that coldness in us. Time to get out of being cold and let God touch our hearts and let God touch our lives. I want to preach to you a little while. What about that hunger? What about that desire? What about that you want to move of God in the depths of your soul? There was such a passion. But right in the middle of his desire, Peter run into a problem. He began to look differently and wrongly. He looked away from Christ, and he began to see the wind, how it was boisterous. He got to looking at the waves. You see, the problem here was not God's keeping power. It was Peter's keeping power. It was Peter's power to keep his eyes on the Son of God.
Peter could not stay focused. Therefore, he let the troubles of his life begin to take him under and begin to take him down. Then Peter could have walked, no telling how far. I don't know how far Peter walked on that water. Maybe he walked one step. Maybe he walked five. Maybe he walked 10. I don't really know. But he did walk on that water. I want to tell you something, friend. If you can live for God one day, then you can live for God the rest of your life. If you can pray through one day, then you can pray through every day for the rest of your life. If you can get in one church service, then why can't you get in two and three and four and right on? If you can lift up holy hands and worship God in one service, then what's stopping you from doing it in this service? Peter walked on that water until his eyes got off the Son of God. Can I tell you, like John the Baptist told him, behold the Lamb of God. Get your eyes on the prize. I say, get your eyes on Jesus. My problem is not God's keeping power. It has always been my keeping power. It's never been that God doesn't have the power to keep me. But it's always been me, me, me. I know how it is. Keeping my eyes on the Son of God. Keeping my eyes focused on what God's got in my life. Keeping my vision like it ought to be. And sometimes it takes God to grab hold of my heart and squeeze it a little bit to get my eyes turned right the way they ought to be. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll get your eyes on Him, children, there is no telling what God will do in your life. Then Peter began to sink. And then we find Peter's promise. And the Lord said to him, come. In that we see his promise. The promise of God that he would bring him where he needed to be. You see, God will not guide where he can't provide. I remember before I took my first church, you know, I was going to Trinity and I'd have been satisfied to stay right there. But God got to deal with my heart. And sometimes I wish I would have just stayed there. Some of the troubles you face after you get out in the ministry, you realize that it'd be nice just to be normal. But that won't ever happen again. But anyway, you may not know him, but Brother Stephen Jowers, me and him was big buddies. And he had a tape by a preacher by the name of Randall Jackson. And he preached a message on God will not guide where he can't provide. He preached about the man of God that went to the brook. And he preached about how before he ever brought him to that brook, he made sure he had water. And he had the ravens pre-programmed to bring him food at that brook. And God said, now you go to that brook and I'm going to take care of you there. And then he told him to go down to that widow and that one particular widow woman. And she was going to have just enough meal to last through that terrible, terrible waste that they had during that time. And I'd go over to his house, and I don't know why, but every time I would go knock on the door, I could hear preaching on the inside. Stephen would open the door up. And you know what tape he'd have in? Randall Jackson. God will not guide where he can't provide. I'd sit there a little while and get under conviction. And I'd say, well, I got to go. And I'd leave. Then I'd come back again. Guess what he'd be playing? One more time. God will not guide where he cannot provide. You hear me? If God tells you to step out, God's going to take care of you. You hear me? I'm not talking about leaving your home church. I'm talking about whatever capacity it is. When God tells you what to do, God's going to help you. We've got young folk here. You've not learned what real faith is. You're scared to trust God. You're scared to step out on that limb. You're scared it's going to break out from underneath you. And sometimes when you do step out, things don't happen just like you think they ought to. Therefore, you think God has let you down. But God did not let you down. God did not guarantee us the results. No, sir. He just told us what we ought to do. I mean, we're going to plant. We're going to water, we're going to sow, but it's God that gives the increase. Amen. He didn't say, woe unto me if they don't get saved, or woe unto me if they don't get filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Are you hearing me? My job is to do what God told me to do. And God's got the rest in His hand. All I can do is what God said. And that's what I'm trying to do tonight. God's going to provide. I told God today, I got what you gave me, God. I'm going to give it to them, God. Would you meet us in the altars? Would you bless us in the altars? Would you send an outpouring of the Holy Ghost? I know I can't do it, but I know that God can. Huh? You see, there's miracles waiting on us. The problem is, are we ready for those miracles? I remember years ago, I hadn't been preaching a whole long time, and I got a big invitation to preach a youth service on Friday night. Trinity was singing that night, the choir. Boy, I thought I'd done arrived. I was big time. Youth service, home church, singing in the choir, you know. I was sitting there that night, and boy, they almost shouted. Almost, man, it come close. I was sitting by Brother McDonald. It kind of fell down flat. Preacher got up and said, it's good to have Brother Bruce Johnson, and we want him to come and preach. Brother McDonald done it just like he normally does. He said, hey, ball's in your court, pal. That's what he told me. And I said, yeah, it is. That's the night I throwed the scissor ball. He said, I don't think I'd have told that. Told me at church. Woo! I said, you're right, Pastor. I wish I'd have had it back after I did. The ball's in your court. You ain't waiting on God. God's waiting on you. You're not sitting there waiting on God. God, I wish you would move for me. What do you think God's been doing in service after service? God's been knocking on your hard head. God's been tapping on that old gizzard of yours, that thumper, you know. God's been doing everything He knows to do to help you in this meeting. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. The truth of it is, the ball's in your court. What you gonna do with it? Huh? The Lord said, come. You gonna step out of the boat, or you gonna stay in the boat? You gonna get out and let God help you tonight, or you gonna ride out the storm in comfort and never take a chance? I tell you what I'd do if I were you. I'd do like old Edgar done. If I had to blow my nose on my tie, whatever, I'd get in and I'd let the Holy Ghost touch my life. Let's stand all over the house. I'm done preaching. Thank you for listening to me. Would you look at this, preacher? I tell you what we're going to do. Listen to me. The Lord's here to help you. I believe with all my heart God's been dealing with some of our young folk. And I know it's hard sometimes when God goes to dealing with you. It really is. Sometimes we don't want to listen. Sometimes we don't want to do what God's talking to us about. But I'm going to tell you what, you will be so far down the road if you'll just get out of that boat and do what God's dealing with your heart about. You will. You will. It'll be so different in your life. You see, the devil knows how to use things against us. And when we start climbing and growing in God, that thing that we don't want to do or that's in our lives, and maybe it's sin. Maybe it's just something you need to obey God in. You know there is sins of commission and omission. Maybe it's something you're committing, or maybe it's something you're just not doing for God. But whatever it is, until you get it to where it needs to be, you're going to climb up a step or two, and you're going to find yourself right back where you was, because you're going to face it. You're going to face it every time until you learn how to conquer it and overcome it. Hear me? And the quicker you learn that, the further you'll be down the road as a young man or as a young lady. You say, preacher, would God really hold me accountable? Yes, He would. Yes, He would. Look, I'm telling you something. I'm telling you it all. Yes, He will. And you need to want to do what God wants you to do. I don't know. Maybe somebody come get ready to sing. Tell you what we're going to do tonight. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you about what's going on in your life. We want to pray with you about what God's been dealing with your heart about. I'd love to see God. We've got time. Night service doesn't start till 7:30. I want to hear Brother Shad preach just as bad as you do. We've got time enough to pray. And listen, we're not thinking you're backslid because you come up and get prayer. I tell you what, those that get in and come get prayer, I hold them in high esteem. I really do. I can respect somebody that'll come for prayer. You hear me? Last night in that service, the youth speaker and his wife was in the altar getting prayer. Huh? We needed prayer. We got a lot on our plate. We got a lot going on. I had a burden for my wife. And I tell you what, I got a burden for myself too. We needed the Lord to touch us. What about you tonight? Huh? Who's going to be the first one to say, preacher, you was preaching to me tonight. And I'm needing God to move for me tonight. These altars are open. You can come stand, kneel, whatever you feel like doing. What about it? This ain't the only young man in this building. There's some young ladies too. What about it? What about it? Quickly, in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, in the name of the Lord, while they start singing. What you waiting on? I said, what you waiting on? Come on, young folk. Let's gather in these altars. Everybody would. Let's come and pray.
Put your hands in His hands. Put your hands in His hands.
Come on, let's try to